Matthew chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And let's read together, shall we? In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I'm going to talk to you this morning about repentance. Repenting. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Dear God Almighty, I want to thank you for salvation. Thank you for the very word of God that brings salvation, that teaches salvation. And I pray, dear God, that we pay attention to thy word this morning. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. Help us to focus on the very words of God this morning. Help us to discard everything that we've ever learned if it contradicts the very word of God this morning. Please bless, meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. Open our eyes and our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said in the adult Bible study this morning, I was teaching on believing. It's easy to be saved. It is not hard. It is not difficult. It is easy to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It's not hard at all. It's your pride and your ego that'll stop you from trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And we went through many of those verses this morning. Now, these two words, repent and believe, almost go hand in hand, as you'll see in the next, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, to be honest with you, in this series that we're going to start this morning. I cannot think of too many more Bible studies that are more important than what I'm teaching in the adult Bible study and this morning's sermon now. This is going to be sort of a Bible study slash sermon, to be honest with you. Only because these two words have been perverted and bastardized because of the love of money. People, religious leaders, want to make money off of their followers. And so that what they do is they pervert and change the very words of God to mean something that they do not mean. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 2 says that John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent ye." If you look at Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17, the Bible says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repentance is necessary for salvation. But repent is probably not the definition that you've been taught, that you've read, or that you've heard. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, the fifth book in the New Testament. Let me repeat, repent is necessary for salvation. A person must repent in order to be saved. But repent is not most likely the definition that you have heard on the radio, television, or some former church. Most likely. Most likely. Acts chapter number 28, and starting in verse number 1. "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt,'" a very interesting phrase, "'no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." That's a very interesting passage. So why are you reading this morning, Pastor? Because everywhere the word repent is mentioned in the New Testament, at least. I'm not Jewish, so I can't read Hebrew, but since I'm Greek, I can read the Greek. Everywhere where the word repent is mentioned in the Word of God, at least in the New Testament, and it is in the Old Testament the same way, it always means to change your mind. It never means to stop sinning. It never means to change your life. It never means to turn over a new leaf. It never means to start doing something right now. It doesn't mean any of those things. Anytime the word repent comes up in the Bible, Old and New Testament, it always, always, always means they changed their mind. Metanoia is the Greek word for I've changed my mind. Has nothing to do with my actions, has nothing to do with my life. It has to do with a change of mind. Well, that's very interesting because in Acts 28, verse number 6, guess what the translators, the King James Version, translated the word metavalomene, which is the same root word of metanoia, change of mind. Here instead, and God, I believe the Holy Spirit of God did this on purpose to teach you a truth about the word repent. These people had no doubt that Paul was going to die. They had no doubt that he was a murderer, some wicked man, and vengeance is on him now because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there was no doubt that this man was going to die in front of them. But after a long while, when they looked, they changed their mind. You have to believe what the scriptures, we're going to go through these verses for the next 4 to 6 weeks. You think it might be too long, too tedious, but I'm going to show you from the Word of God that every place the word repent, repenting, repented, repentance comes up, it means a change of mind. I have a list here of verses in the Old Testament where God himself repented. In Genesis 6, verses 6 and 7, Exodus 32, verses 12 and 14, Deuteronomy 32, verse number 36, Judges 2, 18, 1 Samuel 15, 11 and 35, 2 Samuel 24, 16, 1 Chronicles 21, 15, Psalm 106, 45, Psalm 135, 14, Jeremiah 18, verses 8 and 10, Jeremiah 26, 3, 13 and 19, Jeremiah 42, 10, Hosea 11, 8, Joel 2, verses 13 and 14, Amos 7, verses 3 and 6, Jonah chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Jonah chapter 4, verse number 2. All of those verses say that God repented. So any of these religious liars that stand up and say that repent means to change your life or to stop sinning, please ask them if God stops sinning in any of these verses. No, they're lying to you. I don't care if they're religious or not. I don't care if they're a Baptist or not. As a matter of fact, God repented more in the Old Testament than man did. You know why? Because God changed his mind about certain things. Now, there's some things that God will never change his mind on. We'll cover those. But God repented in the Old Testament. Well, God didn't sin. He didn't have to stop sinning. He had to change his life. He didn't turn over a new leaf. He changed his mind. For instance, he changed his mind with Saul. He says, I repent that I made Saul king. He just changed his mind because Saul turned out to be a wicked king, and he got rid of him and got David. Guess what? God will change his mind about you too. You go ahead and disobey God, and God will change his mind. He'll curse you too. God can repent. Man can repent. You know what that is? Changing your mind as evidenced in Acts 28, 6. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. Right after the book of Hebrews is James. Now, I know this is foreign to most people who have not been here for any length of time. You've been watching that stupid television and radio, religious hocus-pocus mumbo-jumbo, and you think whenever somebody says repent, you got to turn your life over and change your life. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says repent ever means to stop sinning, ever. There's a plenty of other verses that tell you not to sin. There's plenty of other verses that tell you to change your life, yes. But not repent. Repent only means to change your mind, only. Because you have to change your mind about what you thought about salvation, about eternal life before you get saved. Most all of us, if not all of us, thought that we were good enough to go to heaven until someone showed us from the scriptures that we were sinners deserving hell. I thought my good was going to outweigh my bad. I didn't think I was that bad. I was not a murderer or a thief. I wasn't that bad. Until I found out what God said, you know what I did? I changed my mind. I say, God's right, I'm wrong. God's truth, I'm a liar. You know what I did? I changed my mind. When I changed my mind, I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. You got to change your mind first in order to be saved. You have to repent. Very, very important. James chapter number 2. Now we read in the adult Bible study this morning, starting from verse 20 down to the end, concerning Abraham. But I want you to look at verse number 19. And this is another verse that these religious heretics pervert. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, here's what they say now. Well, believe doesn't really mean just believe. Okay. So here's what they say. Believe doesn't, because of this verse now, this is what happens when unsaved, wicked theologians and scholars who love their money more than God's word pervert words. Pay attention to what I'm going to say, because this is a key verse this morning in this Bible study. See, the devils believe, but they're not really saved. That means you got to change your life, because the devils are cursed and they're going to be in hell. And this is what they say. You got to change your life and you can't act like the devils. But that's not what the verse says. The reason devils believe is because they can see God and you cannot. You and I can only be saved by faith, the Bible says. But they believe in God more than you believe in God, because they see him 24/7. So you take the word of some heathen, wicked scholar or theologian who perverts the word of God and says, believe doesn't really mean believe. There's more to it than that. Well, somewhere in these 20 pages of verses here, I have the definition of belief from Mr. Webster, not just from the Bible, but even Mr. Webster, who says what belief is. It means just to trust in something or someone. 1828, Webster's Dictionary. To credit upon the authority or testimony of another, to be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another, or upon the evidence furnished by reasons, arguments, and deductions of the mind, or by other circumstances than personal knowledge. And he goes on. There's about three more paragraphs here about belief. Belief is real simple. That's why God says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nothing about going to church, nothing about being baptized, nothing about changing your life, nothing about stopping a sin. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away your sins. Not a baptism, not church membership, no good works can save somebody. Repent is necessary because you have to change your mind from thinking that you are good enough to go to heaven, and now you realize you're a sinner lost without God, needing the mercy of God to save your soul. Do not blame me because some pastor or theologian lied to you before you showed up here. Let's keep reading. Let's go take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. This is a Bible study mixed with preaching this morning. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this sermon this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. You ought to thank God today somebody shared the gospel with you. You ought to thank God today that God opened your eyes and opened your mind and opened your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you did? At that point, at one point you thought you were all right. But at that point you said, wow, I am a sinner deserving hell. Now maybe you did that in a matter of 30 minutes or 10 minutes. Maybe it took a month. Maybe it took years. I don't know. But there is no doubt of these barbarians that this man Paul was going to die. There's no doubt in their mind. And they changed their minds. Hey, don't give up on anybody, because I don't care how hard they seem. I don't care how wicked they seem. There's a God in heaven that can break a heart, man. They can change their mind. All they need to do is trust Jesus. Your job is to love them, pray for them, be kind to them. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1. So in order to be saved, you have to believe. You and I, we're not like Thomas. Thomas saw him face to face. He said, I'm not going to believe until I see his handprints and see his feet. You know what Jesus said? He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's faith. That's you and I today. You and I are saved by faith without seeing. The devils believe because they can see God. They can see what's going on. They can see a spirit world that you and I cannot see. Well, the Bible says here in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Coming to church is a work. Getting baptized is a work. Changing your life is a work. Being good is a work. Doing good things for other people is a work. You're going to boast to God that I'm saved because I do A, B, or C? Pastors and Sunday school teachers and assistant pastors are going to say, well, I'm saved because I do this A, B, or C. That's Catholic theology, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what they're teaching in their church. We're no different than them if we believe that. By the way, Protestants and Catholics and Orthodox believe that repent means you got to change your life. You got to do something. But the Bible teaches repent means to change your mind so that you understand what God says about your soul being cursed and damned to hell for all eternity until you wake up and realize that Jesus Christ is the only hope that you have. Titus chapter number 3. And these verses are very clear that we're reading. There's no word repent in any of them. Most of the verse we read this morning, Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, the verse we read this morning had no word of repent. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say you have to go to church to be saved. Doesn't say you have to be good enough to be saved. We covered that this morning. Titus chapter number 3. You're going to be shocked when you die and you see a lot of Baptists end up in hell because they were depending on their work salvation. They thought they were good enough to go to heaven. And then you're going to be shocked when you get to heaven. You're going to say, wow, I didn't think you were saved. Because you can't see the heart. You think only Baptists are going to go to heaven? You're going to be shocked when you see Catholics there. Let's be good. You're going to be shocked when you see some people who never darkened the church door, like the thief on the cross who never went to church, never turned over a new leaf, never got baptized, never gave any money in the offering basket. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness. That's coming to church, that's getting baptized, that's doing good, that's giving. A whole bunch of stuff there. Those are works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Anytime you're boasting of your good works, you're treading on dangerous ground right there, ladies and gentlemen. You better check your salvation. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 10. Here we go. We're just starting the next 4 or 6 weeks. Romans chapter number 10. Now you listen to what I'm going to say right here. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. We read this in the old Bible study. We'll read it again for the purpose of this morning for repentance. Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. Is that what it says? Look at the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, period. Look at verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Nothing about church, nothing about getting baptized, nothing about giving money, nothing about being good. He's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just read John 3:16, ladies and gentlemen. It's simple. It's easy to be saved. Church is complicated. Religious leaders make it hard because they want to extract from you as much money and put a sword over your head and put you in fear of maybe not really being saved or losing your salvation. You're not really saved if you don't keep coming. You're not really saved if you don't keep giving. And if you're not really saved if you don't do what I say. Show me one place in the Bible where that list is. Show me one place in the Bible. There's a list of sins that you're supposed to stay away from in order to be saved, and you won't find any place. You won't find it. But they do that so they can control people, to have power over people. Jesus came to give us liberty, to free us from these chains of darkness and the works of darkness, the works of religion. Now let's go back to Romans 10:9 here. So why is this so important, Pastor? Pay attention, please. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what's it say? The Lord Jesus. Did you read that? The NIV changes that and other perversions to say that Jesus is Lord. You say, what's the big difference, Pastor? Because these heretics and these liars change and pervert the word of God, not to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, but for you to make Jesus your Lord, because they say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Because they get that from an NIV that perverts the very word of God, and they twist the salvation message to say, you're not really saved unless you surrender completely to God everything. But you won't find that in the King James Bible anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find that from the lips of a bunch of liars. Amen. Who are trying to extract money from people who are ignorant of the scriptures. So what the NIV, and by the way, any single English-speaking person, leader, religious leader, theologian, pastor, minister, who does not believe and use the King James Bible as the word of God is a fake, phony, fraud, liar. Every single one of them. So what they do, you don't think these words are important. You don't think, well, it's easy to read, Pastor. No, you're just being stupid and ignorant, and you don't care about the very words of God. And you're going to be held accountable at the judgment. There's a big difference between you calling on the Lord Jesus and making Jesus your Lord. If you had made Jesus your Lord, you wouldn't be thinking the thoughts that you were thinking this week. While you're criticizing others, they're not really saved. Yeah, if we had this screen up here and everybody's thoughts were projected on this screen, you'd be as guilty as everybody else too. Don't sit there hypocritically and so pious and self-righteous. So I'm living as good as I can. There's nothing wrong with me. Okay, liar. We'll find out at the judgment seat when everything is going to be open. Take your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Aren't you glad you're saved? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm preaching on repentance this morning. Repent means to change your mind, period. That's all it means. Now, hopefully, you do change your life. Hopefully, you do better. Hopefully, after you get saved, you do get baptized. You start going to an independent, fundamental, separated, Bible-believing, King James-only church, amen? Hopefully, you do that. But even if you don't, all it takes to be saved is asking Jesus Christ to save your soul, period. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are, what's it say? Saved, it is the power of God. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? If you're saved, you love the preaching of the word of God. You love the preaching of the cross, amen? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. For they think we're wasting our time this morning because they're lost, they're wicked, they're evil, they hate God. They're lost, they're on the way to hell, they're children of the devil. They're twofold child of hell. They hate this. This is why they hate this kind of preaching. They want us to shut up. They're passing laws to inhibit the propagation of the gospel. Look what it says. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are what? Unless you had an NIV, because they changed it to being saved. As if it's a process. There's a big difference between being saved and saved. I'm not being saved. I got saved November 1978 when I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell and I asked God Almighty to save my soul. I wasn't being saved. I got saved. I'm not being saved now. I got saved 1978. But the NIV changes it, and people believe it. Because it says, because some printer, publisher, who loves filthy lucre, prints on the side, Holy Bible, and you believe it. No, I'm not being saved. I got saved. Amen. I got saved. Jesus is Lord, whether you make him Lord or not. Amen. Oh, now you're making him Lord because you think you've surrendered. You haven't surrendered everything. I promise you that. Come to me afterwards and I'll show you some Bible verses. You haven't surrendered everything to God. I promise you. Amen. This is the same NIV that says in second sentence, not this one, I don't have it in NIV. I used to have one for study purposes, but it looks like someone took it. I don't know where it's at. But the NIV says in 2 Samuel 21:19 that Elhanan killed Goliath. I'm not making this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Go search it. I thought 1 Samuel 17 said that David killed Goliath. If you have a King James Bible, that's what it says. And if you have a King James Bible, in 2 Samuel 21:19, it says that David killed Goliath. But if you have an NIV, it says Elhanan killed Goliath. I've showed that verse to Greek people, scholars, theologians, who don't know how to answer because they're having a perversion. That's why God's cursed those Greeks, man. I've asked people with NIV to show. I show them their own Bible, their own perversion. They say, I don't know. You know why? Because they don't even read it. They don't even believe it. Salvation is not a process. It's instantaneous. You change your mind from what you had believed before, and then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away a person's sins, not baptism, not religious works, not stopping a certain sin or stopping many sins. The Pope teaches a work salvation of doing certain things and not doing certain things. That's what the Orthodox Church teaches. That's what the Mormons teach. That's what the Jehovah's False Witnesses teach. They teach a work salvation. You have to be good enough to be a child of God. No, after salvation, you need preaching so you can mature and grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a process. That is a lifelong process after salvation. But salvation is not a process. Salvation is not character. Just because some people live right after they get saved and some people don't live right after they get saved doesn't mean they're not saved. Character and duty and responsibility are separate from salvation. Maybe somebody grew up with more character and they were able to live right after they get saved. Maybe somebody had a decent home or decent parents. Maybe somebody went to a decent church before they got saved. They learned more about structure. That's why when you see some of these animals and savages getting saved, so where are they all, Pastor? Well, they're somewhere. They're somewhere. I was street preaching years ago now. I'm going back 20, 25 years ago. I was at the corner of 3rd. Where Files Hardware is now? What street is the cross street is that? What? I can't hear it. Broadway? Okay, it's Broadway. So 3rd and Broadway. I was standing on the corner, and it was dead back then, 20, 25 years ago, you know, and I'm preaching on a corner right there, and I'm preaching the gospel. I only preach on the gospel, to be honest with you. I don't preach on street corner. And I didn't catch him at first. I saw him the second or third time, obviously. But there's a black guy riding on a bicycle up and down the street. He come back the second time. They came back the third time. And I'm preaching. And all of a sudden, third, fourth, fifth time, he comes up and stops right on the curb. He's facing south. I'm really literally on the corner where Files Hardware is, okay? Fields, Files, however you pronounce it. He stops his bike and starts looking at me. And I stop my preaching and I walk over to him. Here's what he says to me. He says, I've broken every single one of the Ten Commandments. Can I get saved still? There's more hope for that fella than most of these false, fake, phony religious leaders getting saved, ladies and gentlemen. At least that man heard the gospel. At least God broke his heart. And he asked the pointed question, I've broken every single one of those commandments. Can I still get saved? I said, if you believe, and I went through the gospel with him again. I said, if you believe with all your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and mean it in your heart, God will save your soul. He said, that's all I need to know. Thank you. And he rode off, and I've never seen him again. If I have, I haven't noticed who he is because, you know, they look the same to me. What I'm saying is, all you need to do is ask Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul, and he will save your soul. See, you're concentrating too much on rich people. With nice cars and nice houses and nice live in nice neighborhoods, nice jobs, driving fancy cars, living in big houses, that their hearts are too stinking cold to hear the gospel. They're too full of themselves. They got so much money. They don't need church. They don't need God. So what people do is they just leave the ghettos. They leave the projects. They leave the slums where people are hurting and there's drugs and alcohol and guns and violence. And you don't want to go there because you might scratch your nice fancy car. Oh, there are people willing to listen to the gospel and want to get saved, even if they don't have character. They got a soul. Everybody's got a soul, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not here to reach rich people or poor people. I'm here to reach everybody. It's up to them what they want to do after they get saved. Salvation is not a process. Growing in grace is, though. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, please. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Second Peter, chapter number 1. Second Peter, chapter number 1, starting in verse number, starting verse number 1, I guess. Second Peter, chapter number 1. We'll probably close with this passage here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Please pay attention. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Faith. Because that is the first thing that you do when you get saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul and Silas told the jailer, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't say get right with God. He didn't say go to church. He didn't say repent of all your sins and change your life. He didn't say that. He said believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, the first thing you need is faith. After you change your mind, you put your faith in God. Now, all these other things are added that we're going to read are added to faith, or they're supposed to be added. Watch this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That's the ability to change somebody else. That's what virtue is. Living such a life to be able to change someone else. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That's what you're supposed to add. Now, that's after salvation. That's what you're supposed to add to your faith after you get saved. Watch what happens if you do that or you don't do that. Verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, you haven't added these things to your faith. That's why. This is what happens when you stop coming to good church. This is what happens when you stop reading your Bible. This is what happens when you stop praying, stop going soul winning, stop giving, stop going, stop obeying the word of God. This is what happens. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, watch this, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Well, if you're really saved, you could never forget the day you got saved. Well, that's contrary to what God said. I said that's contrary to what God said. But you hear theologians and pastors and reverends say that. If you're really saved, you could never forget the day you got saved. Well, haven't you had anybody that's gone through Alzheimer's disease? They don't even know who you are. My daughter had amnesia when she was a teen. She didn't know who I was. I thought she was lying to me. My oldest daughter in Burma. I thought she was lying. She had a bronchial infection that went from her chest to her brain, and she had amnesia for a day or two or three. It was the weirdest thing I think I've ever experienced in my life. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know who her mother was. She didn't know who she was. Oh, so now you're telling me when she got saved when she was 4, 5, 6 years old that she wasn't saved now because she couldn't know who she was. And you're saying your uncle, your grandfather, who has amnesia, doesn't know who he is and doesn't know who you are, is not really saved because they don't have all their marbles now, huh? So you're saying somebody who's doped out on drugs and drunk on liquor and stayed away from church for 20, 30 years and doubting their own salvation, they're not really saved when God says They've forgotten that they were saved because they have not added these things to their faith. I'd rather believe what God said instead of a lying, hypocrite, religious leader. You know what your problem is? You stayed away from church too long. That's why the devil's put doubts in your mind. Do you know what the problem is? You stop reading your Bible. You go ahead and stop showing up on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you'll be lukewarm too out in the world. It's okay. You come to church once a week or once every 2 weeks, then once every 3 weeks, then once a month. That's all right. That's what lukewarm people do. That's what compromisers do. And listen to me good. You look at yourself in about 5, 10, 20 years, you say, I don't think I really believe that, man. I don't think I was really saved. I think I was just acting it. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I don't think I really meant it. Well, it doesn't mean anything if you said after you got married, I don't know if I really meant it, Pastor. It's too late, buddy. You bought that nice car and you signed the contract. I don't really want this car anymore. It's too late, buddy. You signed the contract. That house I just bought, I want to go back and renege on that because it's too late. You signed the contract. I got news for you. Once a person is saved, they're always saved. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth away all sin, the Bible says. Whether you believe that or not, whether you remember it or not, or whether you've gone to some other heretic and listened to him too long instead of reading the Bible on your own. Repent means to change your mind, and that's all it means. Have you been saved? I'm not asking if you're being saved. I'm not asking you if you've made Jesus your Lord. I'm asking you if you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell. Because you realize you're no good, no worth sinner on your way to hell, deserving to go to hell. And you ask God Almighty for mercy to save you. That's what I'm asking you this morning. I'm not asking if you're Baptist or Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox or Buddhist or Muslim. I'm asking you if you're born again. I'm asking you if you're saved from hell. That's what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because only Jesus can save you from hell. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for the day that lady shared the gospel with me. Chip on my shoulder, young, proud, braggadocious. No one could tell me anything. And that little pipsqueak had enough courage to share the gospel with me. I want to thank you for breaking my heart. I want to thank you, Lord, for convicting me of my sin, of my need of salvation. Dear God, I want to thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I want to thank you, Lord, for a church that loves you and loves the Word of God. Lord, we're nothing but a bunch of sinners trying to do right. And I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. Not that they're working for it. Not that it's a process of being saved. But the day that they ask Jesus Christ to save their soul. And I pray if there's anybody in this room that is saved, but they've never been baptized after they got saved, I pray they'll come forward and get baptized this morning. Whatever else the need is, dear God, maybe, dear Holy Spirit of God, you spoke to somebody's heart about some other need that I didn't even mention, I didn't even bring up. But you brought conviction, whatever it may be, dear God, I pray you work on our heart. Thank you again for loving us. Bless, I pray, this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.